We thank God for our music ministry and that selection. You can give them another hand. I want to reiterate the announcement for Youth Sunday. Please join us next Sunday as we celebrate our youth and our young adults. And also this Wednesday, we are having joint Bible study, as Reverend Spears and the announcements mentioned. So adults who join us, please join us in person. If you cannot join us in person, I will be sending out a link so that you can join us virtually. I want to read a familiar text from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through verse 11, from the New International Version. And the text says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Please indulge me for just a moment. I want to read the first three verses again in the King James Version. I grew up with the King James Version. I like the rendering. And in the King James, verses 1 through 3 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." I like that "ho." "Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." The word of our God. Thank you, ushers. Satisfaction guaranteed. William Kirkpatrick wrote a hymn entitled, Lord, I'm coming home. And the words of that hymn are pointed and powerful. Let me share some of the words of that hymn. It says, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick. My heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew. My hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. This hymn can be a guiding hymn for the season of Lent. The disgust with one's spiritual condition, the yearning for renewal and restoration, the grace and forgiveness of a loving God expressed in this hymn capture the essence of our work during this season of Lent. Lent is about returning. It's about repenting. It's about renewing. And this hymn, Lord, I'm Coming Home, can also be the rallying cry for Isaiah's audience in our text. Isaiah addresses his message to God's people who are in exile. God's people have been exiled to Babylon, and they are in a country of captivity because they ignored God. They chased false idols, and they traveled the paths of sin. And the psalmist captures the pitiful plight of the Israelites in Psalm 137 when he says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And so these exiles are in a position to repeat the words of this hymn, Lord, I'm coming home. And can't you hear the muted chant? I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home. This passage in Isaiah 55 is one of my favorite biblical passages because it contains God's message of grace, restoration, and hope. God calls upon Israel to repent and to return. And God undergirds this call with the promise of forgiveness and reconciliation. And so Isaiah 55 is very powerful. And you can't do justice with this passage in just one sermon. Its underlying theme is repent and return to God who will grant full restoration. And repentance and returning constitute our work during this season of Lent. The text makes some very important points. And one of the things it stresses is the longing that we have for satisfaction. Because the text uses the word thirst to suggest that there is a longing, a need for satisfaction. The text implies that the exiles are hungry. They need food. They need sustenance. They need satisfaction. And if you read verses 1-3, you will discover that that longing is both physical and spiritual. Because when the writer talks about come to drink the waters, come to eat, the writer is suggesting that God not only speaks metaphorically about taking care of them, but also directly and literally that God will satisfy their needs. The exiles need satisfaction for their immediate physical needs, and they need satisfaction for their soul needs. There's a difference between what you need physically and what you need spiritually. There is in life a longing for real sustenance, real satisfaction. And all of us, in some way, seek satisfaction, whether it is physical, to be touched or embraced by someone, or whether it is emotional, to be validated by someone. There is a longing for satisfaction. I know some of you over 50 remember that song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Many social problems have as a root cause a longing for satisfaction. American psychologist Abraham Maslow suggested that there are several levels of human need. And Maslow called them a hierarchy of needs. And the most basic needs must be satisfied before the next levels can be fulfilled. And he says the most basic need is physiological need, to be fed, to drink, to be warm, physiological needs. And then the next level of needs are safety and security need, to feel safe, feel protected. Another level of needs are love and belonging needs. And then the fourth level is self-esteem needs. And the highest level, according to Maslow, is self-actualization needs, to feel fulfilled, to know who you are. And Maslow suggests that you cannot reach the higher level of needs unless those basic fundamental needs are taken care of. For example, if a person is hungry, that's a physiological need. And you can't talk to them about self-esteem and self-actualization and dreams when their basic hunger need has not been addressed. And underneath this humanistic approach to human need is the longing of the soul for satisfaction. The creature longs for satisfaction, and some of us long for what I would term existential satisfaction. We want to know what life means. We want to know what the universe is about. We want to know why we are here in the world. There's a life longing for satisfaction. And the writer addresses that in this 55th chapter, the longing for satisfaction. But the writer also suggests that there is the peril, P-E-R-I-L, the peril of counterfeit satisfaction. Because the text asks the question in verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. God's people, Israel, sought satisfaction. Nothing wrong with that. We all seek satisfaction in some way or another. We all seek to have our needs fulfilled. But the problem for Israel was she sought satisfaction in the wrong places. Israel chased false gods. Israel ran the streets of satisfaction and picked up every false and counterfeit peddler of satisfaction she could find. You've heard the song say, looking for love. If you're over 50, you know that. That's what Israel did. She would eat food, and moments later, she'd be hungry all over again. The allure of counterfeiters captured Israel's attention. And it's a perilous thing to be ensnared by counterfeit satisfaction. It's a perilous thing to seek satisfaction from someone who is nothing but a counterfeit and a fake. Many wealthy athletes have everything that they could imagine. They have a good career. They have more money than they can spend. They have wives and children and husbands. They have popularity. They have homes and cars and the ability to go any place on the planet. But those things ultimately do not bring satisfaction. Some of our young people, and I would dare say some older people, some of our young people seek satisfaction through drugs, through alcohol, through sex, through intimacy in the streets. That's counterfeit satisfaction. These activities only promise to give you satisfaction, but they can never deliver the goods. Parents all over this country and all over this world are trying to tell their young people, don't trust that knucklehead. Don't go with those people. Don't hang out with that crowd, because parents know from experience that some of these people and some of these things do not bring satisfaction. We waste our time. We waste our money. We waste our resources chasing counterfeiters. Be careful about trusting the counterfeit stuff. Be careful about the stuff that will make you feel good for 15 minutes and give you a headache the rest of the month. I don't know where you... Satisfaction, in fact, doesn't come from a feeling, because feelings come and go. Feelings are up and feelings are down. You feel good one moment, you feel bad the next moment, huh? They go and they come. This is on my paper. My wife didn't hear. I can drop this off. The other day, she came home. Well, I'm going to get in trouble, but, you know, I've been getting in trouble for 43 years. She's still hanging out with me. She came home, and I was in the room. She said, I noticed something sticky on the floor. And I said, oh, okay, something sticky on the floor. She said, somebody spilled something on the floor. And I said, well, there are three people in the house. You and me and Regine, one of y'all did it, because I didn't do it. That shifted her feelings. That shifted her feelings that day. So feelings come and go. Satisfaction doesn't come from a feeling. Satisfaction comes from a relationship. And God wants Israel to understand the power of relationship. And that's why God says, don't go after all this stuff. that you cannot establish a relationship because that stuff is counterfeit satisfaction. So there's a longing for satisfaction. We're all trying to be satisfied in some way or another on some level. And then there is the peril of counterfeit satisfaction. But then God in this passage talks about the absolute sufficiency of God. The absolute sufficiency of God. That's why I read the King James says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And then God says, "Hearken," in the King James, "listen diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Four times, the writer says, come. If you're looking for a real sustenance, God says, come. If you're looking for real satisfaction, God says, come. Leave the counterfeit stuff alone and put your trust in the sufficiency of the Almighty God. And I like that the writer extends this invitation to everybody. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." That's a bold invitation because God doesn't know how many people will respond, but God is big enough that whenever somebody responds, he can satisfy them. But it doesn't matter. God has satisfaction for everybody who comes to the table. And so if folk have blocked you on social media, if folk have left you out of their social group, if folk have said you don't belong in this group or you don't belong with us, there's another table where everybody is welcomed and everybody can receive sustenance. The text talks about the absolute sufficiency of God. God will give life to the soul. That's why Lent is so important. That's why praying is so important. That's why fasting is so important. That's why spending time with God is so important, because there is a need in the soul that no one can satisfy but God Almighty. And God will address the soul. We need intimacy with God, our Creator. God says, "I made a covenant through David with my people, and I promise acceptance and satisfaction." He says, "If you come to me, you will not be denied." He says, if you seek satisfaction from me, you'll leave with your soul filled up. Now there is a caveat. There's a caveat to God's invitation. The Bible says you've got to repent. You've got to let go of your allegiance to the purveyors of counterfeit satisfaction. So if you want God to satisfy, you got to let go of all the other stuff out there and all the other persons out there and all of the other obstacles that are vying for your attention. So the Bible says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." And the Bible teaches the time is now. You cannot wait till the pastor extends the invitation to Christ. Time is right now. You cannot wait until it's a Sunday where something hits you and you feel like you want to connect with God. The Bible says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." And that lets us know that we better hurry up. We don't know when the invitation is going to be cut off. Song said, "Don't let this harvest pass and lose your soul at last." If you come, if you repent, God is absolutely sufficient to bring grace and renewal. We all have needs, and life offers counterfeit satisfaction. But true satisfaction comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It comes through a relationship with the all-sufficient God. Pastor Freeman, are you suggesting that all we need in life is God? Don't we need shelter? Don't we need food? Don't we need clothing? Don't we need education? Don't we need health care? Don't we need friends and financial resources, jobs and careers? Don't we need all that stuff? And I want you to know, yes, those things help us in life. And those things carry a level of importance in human life. But none of those things guarantee satisfaction. Your education won't guarantee it. Your financial holdings won't guarantee it. Your health care won't guarantee it. None of those things guarantee satisfaction. On a fundamental level, the creature needs a relationship with the Creator. We need God Almighty because God is absolutely sufficient. So satisfaction is achieved through a relationship with God. And that's why you'll find people who don't have much. They might not have as much as someone else has, but they have a relationship with God. And they're happy all the time because they know that God is with them and God is in charge. Financial planners will suggest a multi-pronged approach to retirement preparation. They tell you if you want to build a strong retirement portfolio, conventional wisdom suggests that you have a retirement and pension plan. Build Social Security. Have personal investments and 401k plans and stocks. Have a personal savings account and own property. And all of this, all of these things, all of these parts constitute a strong retirement portfolio. And it makes a lot of sense. Tell you build your net worth. Not how much money you got. It's how much you have left after you pay all the folk you owe. That's your net worth. Build your net worth. And all of that makes sense. And that's what I've tried to do. I won't retire wealthy. But God has blessed us to be able to take care of ourselves. Thank you, Lord. It makes sense. My late grandmother had a lot of mother wit. And she'd say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And she'd say, don't count your chickens before they hatch. And she'd say, get it right up front so you don't hurt behind. She made a lot of sense. But when it comes to faith in God, and when it comes to what my life really needs, and when it comes to my future, I put all my eggs in one basket. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I put all my eggs in God's hands. I put all my trust in God's hands. He guarantees satisfaction. And I found out in my life, nobody can feed you like God can. Nobody can protect you like God can. Nobody can satisfy you like God can. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. And I want you to know today, God woke me up this morning. And God woke you up this morning. And God brought you every step of the way. Nobody can satisfy you. Nobody will go with you. Nobody will hold you like God can. I'm done. God never fails. He never fails. Stock market will fail. But God never fails. A wildfire come through your neighborhood and burn your house down to the ground. But God never fails.
He abides in me. He gives me victory. Just keep the faith and never cease to pray. Just walk upright morning, noon, or night. He'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be there. You don't have to worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tried him for myself. Hallelujah.
God never fails. Invitation. Christian discipleship is extended. We, our ministers and deacons and greeters come. You better hook up with the right person. Listen, this is on my paper. Hold on a minute. Let's listen to this. America might make the same mistake again. And when I think about the Supreme Court being able to say that the president has absolute immunity, it reminds me of that scripture in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus says the demon was cast out and the house was wiped clean. But if that demon gets back in the house, he comes back with seven more demons and they're going to be worse than it ever was. We don't know what's going to happen in this country. But that's why you need to know somebody who is absolutely sufficient. And that somebody is God Almighty. Nobody is more sufficient than God Almighty. Will you stand with me? And online, you can go to belonging@ebc3austin.org. God never failed. Hallelujah. Help me. God never fails.